Moncrief on News Talk.
2,000 years ago, wine was poured into an urn in Spain. The Journal of Archaeological Science is reporting that this urn has been found and the wine is still there in liquid form, making it the oldest discovery of its kind. Mick O'Connell of Neighbourhood Wine has been having a look at this. Afternoon, Mick.
How are you doing?
How come it survived for so long?
It's pretty amazing. I've never heard of anything like this at all. Just to put it in perspective, this is found in an urn. So it's like an old kind of terracotta style urn. We can all picture it. I've been in wineries where they're using amphora from terracotta, from clay, all of these things for producing wine. And even new young wine, can a little bit of it can seep out through these substances because they're a little bit porous. Mm. So for it to be there for 2,000 years is absolutely nuts.
Yeah. Is it apparently it's kind of black looking now, but would it have originally have been a red wine or a white wine or anything we'd recognise as a wine?
So what they've done, it's fascinating, certainly fascinating for wine nerds like me, but they've done chemical analysis on this wine, first to establish that it was wine at all, as opposed to something else. But they look for particular properties in it, and one of the properties is syringic acid. Syringic acid is only present in red wine. There was no syringic acid, so therefore this is white wine. So they know that it started its life as a white wine. Obviously, it's in that kind of very old brown, almost blacky kind of murky red at this point. But they reckon that just based on the analysis that this wine started its life a little bit like a sherry.
Ah, and would it have been made from grapes that might still be around today?
Yeah, the likelihood is that it'll be made from Palomino, which is the grape that's used in sherry at the moment. And Pedro Ximenez is the other grape that's used in mainly sweet sherry production at the moment. But they're the two kind of white grape varieties that are widely planted in hot southern Spain.
Now, I doubt if they're going to offer it to anybody, but theoretically, could you drink it?
I had to skip straight through to the final paragraph yesterday. I was texted this late last night and someone was like, obviously saw it and said, text it to my wine nerd pal, Mick. And I skipped straight through. And the chemist who was analysing the wine said that they reckon it is not poisonous. It is not toxic to drink. And in my mind, I'm going, I'd have to be tempted and give it a go.
Yeah, just out of morbid curiosity. Why though, nowadays, do wine producers still put wine into urns then?
So there's a big movement at the moment. I mean, look, wine production, the most easy, safest, cleanest way to make wine is using stainless steel because it's simple to clean. You can control temperature, all that type of thing. The other vessel that's used a lot is oak, but there's a real movement back towards kind of traditional or even archaic winemaking terms. And one of the things that people like to do is amphora. So they reckon that the first wines were made in either Georgia or Armenia. And they would have been what we now today look at as skin contact or orange white wines. Mm. And they would have all been done in amphoras that were buried under the ground, which is not dissimilar to this discovery here.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Now would it, if the same set of grapes had been put in a stainless steel tank, is it debatable that it might taste different than if you put it in, amphoras and bury it under the ground?
They definitely taste very, very different. So, like, what you get from stainless steel is this kind of what I would call modern tasting wine. You get quite clean, quite fruity aromas. When you put it into amphora, you get this kind of rustic clay. You get tannin. Tannin is that kind of sensation, that feeling when you run your tongue along your teeth after drinking a glass of red wine. You get this dusty sensation. That's tannin. Mm. Amphora gives you tannin, so you end up with these kind of stronger, drier styles of wine when you use vessels like amphora than you do with stainless steel. Stainless steel gives you the vast majority of wine that we drink, which is kind of fun, fruity, fresh.
The now, obviously, 2,000 years has probably taken it a bit too far. But the idea, particularly for a red wine, that the older it is, the better it is. Is there a cut-off point there, Mick, where, you know, once you're past 10 or 20 years, you know, it's not going to change that much?
The vast, vast, vast majority of wine, so like pretty much everything you see on the local supermarket shelf or the local wine shop shelf, pretty much everything is designed for drinking kind of as soon as it hits the shelf, if you see what I mean. Mm. Now, with the beauty of wine in comparison to other products in your supermarket is that it doesn't have a best before date. It's not going bad, you know, 6 months after it arrives. Whether it gets better, you know, the vast majority of wine doesn't get better with time. So you do have certain regions that like Bordeaux, for example. Bordeaux probably hits its peak drinking window between 10 and 20 years of age. And when I'm talking about Bordeaux here, I'm talking about the posh end of Bordeaux. Oh. So the beauty of giving a little bit of age here, there's a little bit of a kind of bell curve effect here where wine, it goes to a point where the fruitiness drops out and you start to bring in this savory aspect. And really at around that 10, 15 years for something like Bordeaux, you kind of get the balance of fruity and savory at its perfect spot. And that's what people would call its drinking window. So this posh Bordeaux is currently in its drinking window. For me, after you kind of turn over the bell of the curve, you're into this thing where the savory starts taking over. And I know how I like my wine. I like it to have a little bit of both. You know, I don't want it to just be savory. The big thing that happens as you age wine for a long time is old wine kind of converges and just tastes like old wine after a certain amount of
But you do hear about people who spend a fortune opening a bottle of wine that was 50 years old, or, you know, somebody stole it from Hitler's cabinet or something like that, you know. So that wine's now, it's just for the sake of it, really.
I have drank wines going back as far as some in the late 1800s, but they are fortified wines similar to this discovery where it's a normal wine, but has had a bit of spirit added to it, like grape brandy added to it, which adds to the longevity of the wine. Now, normal still wines I've drank back to kind of 1920s and 30s. Mm. And being honest, most of them are just a fun experience. Whether I'm saying to myself, God, this is the most profound drink I've ever had. No, I'm not. You're really at the kind of very, very fine level of wine where you're talking maybe the best 100, 200 producers in the world are at that standard where they can make a wine that lasts 50, 60, 100 years and still tastes like itself, if
yes.
You see what I mean.
Yeah, and what are they doing that's different, Mick, that it's going to last for that period of time?
There's so many variabilities, but the big thing is whether the wine has the acid. So the acid is the kind of brightness, the refreshingness that you get from a wine, that the part of the wine that makes you want to take another sip, really. It kind of cleanses the palate, but it also keeps the wine stable. Most of these red wines, the other big thing is they have to have quite a bit of tannin. Tannin acts as something that again adds longevity to the wine. It adds stability to the wine. It basically protects against oxidation over time. Yeah. And what you're doing by aging a wine is effectively adding a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of air to the wine over time. And most wines just don't like air.
Yeah. So if, say, somebody, I'm not saying anyone in particular, but somebody like might make a regular visit to the, you know, their off license, and they might tend to buy a Bordeaux and they'll pay an extra fiver or so because it's 5 years old as opposed to 2 years old. Are they kind of wasting that fiver?
No. Certainly not. So what they're doing, if you take the bell curve analogy, they're probably getting closer to the tip of the bell curve, if you see what I mean. Mm. So they're getting that kind of trade-off where it's fruity and savory. The only thing that I will say is with wine, it's like it's just all about personal preference. If you prefer your wines fruitier, then you should drink them younger. If you prefer your wines more savory, then you should drink them older.
Yeah.
And the thing that you get to know as you get to know your palate of wine is effectively where you like to drink your wines. And I know myself, I like a bit of fruity, but a bit of savory at the same time. To me, if it's just savory, you know, I may as well have a tea.
Yeah. Or you can just get a really big wine glass, big enough so you can drop a bit of steak into it while you're drinking as well. Mick, thanks a million. As usual, Mick O'Connell there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.